Welcome to A Better HR Business, the podcast that looks at how HR consultants and HR tech firms grow their businesses and how they help their employers to get the best out of their people. Remember, for show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Great to have you along. And I'm really looking forward to today's conversation with Carolyn Shepherd. Carolyn is the founder and mentor at Emmaline, and she's a fascinating person. She's a versatile HR professional with over 20 years of strategic and ops experience, but she's done so much beyond the world of consulting and HR software. Her work spans Gen AI, so generative AI strategy for HR transformation, HR-centered change projects, a strategy and ops work as well, as I mentioned, HR software, and then also upskilling women for the new world of work and supporting women who have been impacted by AI job displacement. So fascinating range of areas, but within this broad field of HR. I'm really looking forward to diving into it. But firstly, Carolyn, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, Ben. I mean, I've been so excited about talking with you today. I've been listening to your podcast for months now.
Oh, thank you very much. And you are based in the UK somewhere, is that right?
Yes, I'm based in Lincolnshire, which is on the east coast of the UK, miles from anywhere. Work from the middle of a field. I do have a building that I work in, obviously my home, but we're quite a distributed team. So I'm used to working across distributed teams, even across Europe as well.
I love it. And I didn't say in the intro there, but you are a qualified lawyer, is that right?
Yes, I'm a barrister. That's my qualification. I'm a barrister, but I haven't actually practiced as a barrister for, I'm going back years now, back to sort of the millennium when I qualified. And then I quite quickly went off into private practice and worked as head of operations for a legal and an employment law and HR service. It was quite sort of boutique, but we still had quite a few hundred clients. So it was interesting. Yes.
Brilliant. Now we're going to get into a couple of areas, particularly the AI policy and AI Explorer, which I'm keen to dive into. But Emmaline, the business name, the organization name, there's a meaning behind that, right?
Yes. Emmaline is the first name of Emmaline Pankhurst, the suffragette, who's famous for obviously helping to bring in the right for women to vote. That's where I get the Emmaline from. And also it's a really cool name and it's easy to remember. And I did put it past quite a few colleagues and friends. And I said, what do you think to this? And they said, no, it really sums it up nicely. It's easy to remember. And then I stuck AI on the end of it. And I don't know how many people remember that, but it ended up as Emmaline.ai is the website. So
very cool. And that matters because, as I mentioned there earlier, you are trying to help women in the new world of work and supporting women who have been impacted by AI job displacement. So we're going to get to that in a minute, but perhaps we could start with AI policy. What is that and why would organizations need it?
Yeah, well, my newsletter went out yesterday, which is Sisters in Success. You can get to that on LinkedIn with the hashtag LinkedIn Sisters. But it really was just summing up, because we're in week 7, which doesn't sound very long, I'm sure, to most people who've been running newsletters or writing newsletters. But to me, I do one every Wednesday, so it's quite a lot of work. And it's come along, it's helped me to really focus. And as I focused on the needs of my clients and the customers who were there saying, can you help? I realized that, look, there are three things every business needs to be doing right now, unless you're in the top sort of 100 businesses in the world and they've already done this. But, for the rest of us, then you need to be looking at these three vital tasks. And the first one is putting a policy, an AI policy in place. Now, like yourself, Ben, obviously I talk to a lot of HR consultants. That's my background, and HR practitioners, fractional and interim, et cetera, as well as permanent HR. And they all have the same responsibility, which is we are the people, the go-to people, who everyone points the finger at if a policy is breached. And the first thing they say is, okay, what does HR say about it? Well, HR hasn't got much to say about this at the moment because, in my understanding or my experience, really very few businesses have got an AI policy in place. So looking at reports from, I think there was something on BBC's Work Life just recently, And this said something, a really scary statistic, in excess of 40% of employees are secretly using ChatGPT or similar type of generative AI tool at work. You know, you're merrily going along thinking, oh, we don't use it here at this business. So that's okay. I don't really need one of those. And then you find out that, yeah, actually, quite a lot of staff are using it. And I read something else was really interesting. At the moment, people aren't sharing it readily with each other because they quite like having the advantage, you know. So you might think somebody's game has really lifted recently, and it could be that they're using
that. Tremendous, yeah. On that point, I'm aware of a large organization recently that was putting out to tender some legal work. And so they got all these big law firms putting in their proposals. And then when it came to the About Us section, every single law firm had the same section.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not just the non-legal firms that do it. You know, the legal experts also could do with an AI policy.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. And regulated industries like law practices, legal practices, they need a little bit more in it than the non-regulated AI policy. So recruitment organizations. So, for example, a recruitment agency would be regulated, financial services, legal, etc. They need a little bit more in because they need to tell their customers how they are using their customers' data in the AI tools that they're using. And also, of course, there are restrictions. So they need to make sure that their staff are not doing certain things with that information.
Yeah, definitely. And just on the AI policy side of things, it's one thing to say you shall do this, shall not do that. But there's also a quality element to it. Yes, you could go and write LinkedIn posts or emails and things using ChatGPT and just post or send away. They go, but they're often not quite up to scratch, or a little bit of tailoring and adjusting needs to be done through better prompts. And I know you're a bit of a prompt engineering expert. So organizations should think of it from that perspective as well. It's not just the rights and wrongs of AI use, but also the quality and getting the best out of it. So,
yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think really here we're talking about the human in the loop. So if it was all right to just leave it all to robots, then we could all just be sent home and companies could run at an enormous profit because they wouldn't need any people, or certainly wouldn't need more than 10% of their people. But in fact, interestingly, generative AI is creating more work because for us, which was one of the predictions actually at the very beginning. And if you read the Cognizant report, which came out in January, there is this kind of like, oh, well, there's an optimistic view that there'll be lots of work for everybody, more work than we've ever even imagined. And then there's a pessimistic view, which of course results in the job displacement. But if you are taking a middle view, let's say for the moment, then you're going to need to make sure your staff are trained to be able to use AI in a way that they are making sure that they are regulating the quality, as you say, that is coming out of it. And I haven't yet found a chatbot that can, you know, reproduce the way I speak. So it always sounds rather forced. Although I have to say, I've just discovered Perplexity is so super good at being really succinct. And I like that because I can take that output. So I put my prompt in, I get the output, and then I can make it my own. Whereas I think with ChatGPT and some of the others, you've got to do quite a lot of work to get it back to something that you can use your own style with. So yes, they're coming on. They're coming on, put it that way. They're coming on really super fast.
Oh, that's great. Look, a shameful plug here, but for folks in the HR Business Accelerator, we have a whole bunch of marketing prompts for ChatGPT and AI in generally, but we've done a lot of engineering or tailoring so that they're tailored to your business and situation and needs and things like that. So that's worth
fantastic.
Doing.
Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? Because these are the things that really, really save you time. And, you know, if you're looking at productivity tools, generative AI is obviously going to have oodles of those. And yet innovation is quite hard to drive innovation, but you're obviously innovating there with your, is it a helper, an editor, a chatbot?
No, it's a chatbot, yeah.
Yeah, a chatbot.
Based on our information, we upload all the resources and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you've been innovative. Not that many people are getting innovative yet. And the more innovative you can become, the more productive you can be. So obviously you're handing on that productivity benefit to people who are using the HR Accelerator.
Yeah, thanks. So the AI policy, I think, makes sense for people to get. And if you're a consultant or a tech firm or someone who's not actually an employer, then it's worth referring people to this and getting them to implement it. And then you can help them support the training and potential rollout and things like that. Where can they find the AI policy?
Yeah, the AI policy is on emmeline.ai. It's on the website. If you look at the menu at the top, it says products. There's also resources, which are worth having a look at as well, because there's lots of information there. And I'm planning to put up quite a lot more material there as well. So there's already quite a lot of reports there, and we're putting up more material all the time. And that really is where we bounce off to Emmeline Odysseys, the community.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to hear about that in AI Explorer.
Yeah, well, Emmeline, it's one of those things, you know, as you're growing a business of any sort, you start to think, oh, I'm getting an awful lot of threads here, an awful lot of stuff's going on. How do I bring everything together? And I realized that Emmeline needed a hub. So I started to explore community platforms, and I found a few out there. I decided in the end to go with Mighty Networks. I don't know if you've...
I do know them, yeah.
Yeah, I found that to be really, really right up our street. That's what we wanted. It had got everything I needed, and the price was right. It wasn't too expensive. So at the moment, I mean, this is my sole work at the moment. I do have another business as well, which my team run very competently without me. But, you know, Emmeline's taking all my time. And until you start getting the revenue coming in, that's the really tough bit. And I found that a lot of podcasts or a lot of my favorite sort of resources talk a lot about what to do, but they don't talk about that fear of not having the revenue coming in. And as a woman, I find that quite terrifying. But you have to just, as a contact I was speaking with just the other day, she said, yeah, just go with the process. And that's absolutely right. You have to, don't you? Just trust in the process and you go with it. When I got the community launched, it made that so much easier because I could see the wood for the trees. And so could my clients and people that I was networking with. They could come on there and say, oh, I get it. I get it. And we're building the courses onto Emmeline Odysseys, which is the community that's on Mighty Networks. So if you were looking for it, you'd look for Emmeline Odysseys.
So let me ask, they say they can see the woods for the trees now, but what are the woods? What is it that they see? What is this platform or community all about?
Yeah, well, it's all about resources and building a safe space for women who are in non-technical roles to find resources, speak with other women in the same situation who are realizing that AI is here to stay and that it's going at warp speed and they need to do something about it, but they're probably really quite reticent. And I come from a background where I've been involved in tech projects for many years, so it wasn't so daunting to me, but I very quickly realized that it actually is daunting to a lot of people. So I thought, well, if I could create a safe space where women could go and, you know, find out what other women are doing with it at work, for example, then they could start to think, you know, I might have a go at that. I might try that. And as they develop that confidence, they need more resources. And so they can go onto the courses if they wish to. And those start to demystify AI. And they might decide they want to start with Explorer, which just really makes sure everybody is, you know, feeling confident to be able to use AI tools. And those might be your simple tools for your marketing, as you say, might be using HR accelerator tools. And it dispels a lot of the fears, but it also educates so that you know what the risks are and that you can make sure that you've mitigated those risks. You might want to go beyond that, Ben. You might want to go up onto the navigator level or beyond that even to innovator. There's a pathway.
I love it. And I noticed that you've done a thing I love doing, which is segmenting your audience. And that's thinking about who may be using your services or use part of joining the community. And so you've sort of got different use cases, scenarios where it's, I know you've even got information around parenting, if you're a person doing a role versus an organization which needs to train people itself. So you've thought about the different ways that people might be looking at AI and how it affects them in their lives. How did you come up with those?
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? Experience is always, you get out there, you talk to people, experience is always the best way of coming up with a product because you understand your customers' pain. Well, you understand who your customers are in the first place. And to start off with, you know, I would have liked to have, obviously, like most people, oh, if I could sell my courses to you know, the Fortune 500, then life would be a lot more stable. But it's unlikely that those will be my customers. I need to be in with the right sector and the right size of business that I have the experience with and that I relate to and that can relate to me. So as that emerged, I thought, you know, just talking with colleagues, ex-colleagues, friends, people that I've worked with, and they were all expressing different needs. Some were, and I'm talking about women now, some of them were just feeling very vulnerable. Others were wondering whether or not ChatGPT or any of the others, you know, Gemini Advanced, Perplexity, any of these, could help them brainstorm. They might have been thinkers, policymakers. What about the career professionals? I wrote my book for them, for the career professionals. That's the ChatGPT Advantage, which is available on Amazon. And that's got lots of prompts in it, but it's been told by characters. It's a story, which I like to weave in because that helps people who have got no interest in AI, quite honestly, whatsoever. It helps them relate to it and think, well, I see now that could actually help me in my situation. And we probably find ourselves in these situations from time to time. We could be lots of these different personas.
Yeah, and I did notice the book. We'll put the link to the book in the show notes. So the ChatGPT Advantage, Transform Your Life at Work. And then you've also got the HR Helper, which I found quite almost fun.
Yes, it is
fun. A way
fun
to demonstrate how AI can work for someone. Is that right? Tell us about that.
Oh, that was fun, yes. Well, that was one of those ChatGPT gizmos, you know, whereas if anybody's used to using ChatGPT, normally they may not even know about this unless you subscribe to ChatGPT-4 or whichever the latest one is at the time. And so if you're paying them, so you're paying them the $20 a month, whatever it is, you can access all these gizmos. I'm sure you're more than familiar with them. But the ChatGPT helper that I came up with was from personal experience. If somebody walks into my office when I'm head of people or VP of HR somewhere else, and they say, oh, could somebody please hire a, I don't know, it might be a marketing professional, marketing manager, for example. We'll just take that as an example. The first thing you're thinking is, I've got so much on my desk already, and now we need to do this. And I know that the next question is going to be, oh, who's got interview questions? Obviously, whoever is responsible for the talent acquisition is going to need a document that includes pay and benefits and all those kind of things. So I thought, well, there's four documents I know that we could, without putting any information in about the candidate or the business name or anything like that, we could create these four documents. And that would be the job advert, the person specification, the interview questions, and the job offer letter. Anyway, so yes, it does that. And it does it at lightning speed if you've tried it.
I did, yeah.
Did you have any fun with it? Because I put in a few things while I was trialing it. And then the other day I was on the phone with her, and she's a recruiter, very experienced recruiter. And she was saying, oh my goodness, this thing's amazing. And we were having a giggle. I said, look, why don't you put in for the title of the job? And it will then write the four documents for you. But after that, you can say to it something like, oh, and this person must like cats. So we put astronaut, the base was Florida, and they must like cats. And that's all we put in. And we got this absolutely fantastic response. And it was because they'll need to take a cat in the rocket to Mars when they go. So, yeah, and it was fun to see it. What we really liked about it, and this is on a more serious point, is that it didn't overdo it. It wasn't talking about cats all the time. Like, you know, the ability to predict the next word was so good. And it understood the sense of the document. It knew what it was going to be used for. There was a lot in that. So, yes, I think it's come so far. And this, of course, leads to the conversation about democratization of AI.
What do you mean by that? Because you did mention about upskilling women for the new world of work and supporting women being impacted by AI job displacement, but also about equity in this new environment. So can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, because we now have the perfect storm of enough computing power, we have the right technology, and we have, on top of that, we have the computers ourselves, and we have busy lives, we are more likely to use ChatGPT than not, because it helps us to get what we need quickly. So all of those things have come together, and because it's been made available to absolutely everybody on free accounts, you could actually access it for free, can't you? On most of them, actually. So everybody can use this now. And because everybody can use it and everybody wants to use it, once they realize how good it is, we know that it's here to stay. So it's not going anywhere, right? So it's been democratized. If you put a gateway on that, let's say everyone had to pay $20 a month to access it, then you've killed it. I don't know what would happen to it then. It'll probably take quite a few years to take off.
Okay, so just sort of wrap up this side of things. The AI policy is for organizations that want to ensure that there's the right policy in place for the use of AI, whether that be ChatGPT or whatever it may be, so that there's, I don't know, proper legal standing, or it's just well run, well organized within the organization because it's here. And then secondly, the AI Explorer or Emeline is an environment and the opportunity, particularly for women, to learn how to use AI, ChatGPT, learn what it is, how to use it in different situations, whether that's their home life, the business life, running teams, etc. And so they should be going to emeline.ai to see that community and courses. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And Emeline Odysseys is able to put courses together as well. That might be sales, or it might be marketing, or it might be, for example, recruiting or for law, any of those, because, you know, I know that it can be really important to tailor things. And we can also do bite-sized courses. I just really want to explore it because I feel this is so important, Ben. Women's rights. I know this is sounding a little bit heavy maybe now, but the concern is that women's rights are going to be buried if we don't step up and start to use these tools. As customers, we can drive the products that are made and that become successful, because obviously as customers that we create demand. So we don't need to be building them. We don't all need to be innovators going out and building helpers and all those things. As long as we can use them for our everyday work and we can help others use them within our business, then we've got a job for a very long time, I believe. That's how I understand it. And we're also going to maintain economic stability for women. Whereas the fear is, and it's not just mine, obviously, it's a lot of people much more scholarly than myself who have looked into the concern for social displacement. And that is for job displacement and the social impact, which is really worrying for women, because if they get left behind, they will really struggle to recover. As far as I understand it, I mean, the UN have reported that women's agenda is decades behind where it should be right now anyway. This is before generative AI started. So what hope is there? And why is it a problem? I probably ought to just clarify that if I can for a moment. And that is because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And that means that if LLMs, the brains that are behind these chatbots, their nature and their nurture is all male dominated. If you ask them a question, they will output a male dominated answer. But they won't say it's male dominated, it's just what you'll get. And so you'll sort of start to think, well, this thing's so good, I believe that this is right. Oh, this must be right. And before you know where you are, your rights as a woman are going to be buried. It's a very serious problem.
No, I get that. Even just down to the use of AI images and stuff, where, you know, requesting images, a male comes out as a male, whatever that may be, but for female, it might be more of a sexualized image or something like that.
It does, yes, absolutely. And most female images are in dresses, for example. It's not like I haven't got a hate on men, or I don't think there's some sort
yeah.
of...
But there are assumptions. Yeah,
and it's not as though there's some conspiracy here. You know, it's just where we are as a planet, really. And so we need to be mindful that we need to be involved, and women need to step up. And all those people who are influential in organizations who can influence DEI, those marvelous people that are still trying to get budget to be able to support their programs, really, it is time for business to dig deep. And I think that they really will find the rewards will be that investors and customers are looking for businesses that are stepping up and are backing women in these programs.
Mm. It's funny that when it was a decade or more ago, when you had the rise of using mobile phones for work purposes, and there was the whole bring your own device, and many, many companies would lock devices down, or you could not use it, or you couldn't use the private internet, and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, we've moved on from that. And so there's a crossover, and yes, the internet is widely used and stuff. But there was a time when some companies would permit or were more open or being more innovative, and some were not. And we got past that. But I think certainly that organizations that were more proactive, I think that helped from a an employee attraction, retention, all that sort of stuff perspective, because it made them seem to be the place to be to work, where we're at the cutting edge, we're exploring new technologies, but we'll also help you do that. So I think with this, it's not just about policies, procedures and safety and so on. There's also a best practice side to it. And
yeah, I completely agree with that, because if you're investing in your staff, if you're investing in your workforce and they see that you are, I think that that builds enormous confidence and they think, oh, there is a future for me here. And so they want to stay with you. If on the other hand, because even if you don't know what your Gen AI strategy is going to be yet, which is very normal not to have a clue at the moment and just to be looking and thinking, oh, we just need to keep waiting and watching, then that's all right. But you need to be preparing your workforce now. This is your opportunity to do that. And this is the message, as you say, that you're sending out as part of your talent acquisition strategy. You're sending it out. Yes, we are investing in our workforce now. Yes, you know, men and women, of course. And that you will have a future here. We don't know what that's going to look like yet, because nobody does. But we're going to make sure that you've got the skills you need to be able to develop your career here.
I just remember the picture of this giant poster on a construction site, and it said, hey, ChatGPT, build this building for us, will you? And there was an ad for recruiting builders, you know, construction workers. So their joke was, ChatGPT, you can't help build stuff. But on the flip side, I think you've mentioned this on your website or somewhere, that there are still gender segregated almost roles where there are more females, more women working than men and all that sort of stuff. And if ChatGPT does affect those roles, does cut those things back, then yes, we have that gender equity issue that you mentioned, and we'll never narrow that gap.
That's
right. Decades behind. So.
Yes, and that'll happen quite quickly, perhaps in the dominated sectors like healthcare and customer service, etc. Let's say you had 100 workers and they were all doing a job which ChatGPT can now help them do. And remember, it's hybrid human AI work. It's not just the robot doing it. Then it becomes, from a company's point of view, well, if everybody's doing it, then how do we do it better? So you need those humans in the loop to help you do that. You don't want to offend your customers by upsetting them and them realizing that they're speaking with a robot when they thought they were talking to a human. That kind of treatment is going to put your customers off straight away. So you need people who in your teams who know how to develop workflows that are sensitive to that. Perhaps it might be your internal or your external consultants, your IT consultants, are building those AI workflows for you. You need to have a team that know how to input, know how to bring their cognitive knowledge to that workflow. And that's where your competitive advantage is going to be.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you'll get like that organization where you had the four law firms contributing the exact same proposal.
Yes, exactly. That.
The Emmeline.ai, it's a powerful resource and it's a place that is very helpful now, but I think it's going to get bigger and better in the future as well. To flip to the growth side of things, what are you doing to get the word out there, getting people to use those resources and join up, become part of the community? So on the marketing side of things, what are you doing to promote that?
Well, I've been building my presence on LinkedIn, because with a very limited marketing budget, I've thought, what do I need to be doing? I need to be building relationships first. And the network has spread quite quickly. And I must say, women love the idea of what Emmeline AI is doing. And so they are very supportive, and it's non-competitive because I don't really seem to be bumping into anybody else who is doing this at the moment. So I'm being welcomed with open arms into, for example, it might be a group. It might be a group of coaches or trainers who say, yes, come in and maybe we can partner together and work together. So that's really good. But in terms of when I start doing the outreach work, I'm going to have to get my act together. And I think I'm just going to be having to say, Ben, can you help me?
Absolutely. Yeah, but I think that's really sensible, the turning to the networks and those partnerships, because that's often a great way to connect. And I know Emma
Jamil from the HR business.
The big HR meet, yeah. I saw that she had explored what you're doing there and is loving how that's helping women. So,
oh, yeah, Emma's great. Yeah, she has the HR club, which is actually, if you're looking for it, it's the HR and then in brackets, human.resources, close brackets, club. I don't know why she came up with that, but anyway, but that's what it is. And in there, there's a message really that she's resourcing the HR people who need help, which is really good of her, because I did need help before I started Emmeline. And that's how I got to know her. I was listening to your podcast And I loved hearing about the HR Big Meet, which she's doing again this year. So I joined the community. And before long, they very kindly asked me if I'd like to do an event, which I did, to promote Emmeline. So I did that. And we had a great time. And these brave women came along and put themselves out there and had a go. We used the Miro board, actually, for it. We did it virtually, but we used a Miro board. And I sort of took them through it on a bit of an agile kind of set of boards. And we all had a good time and moved stuff around, sticky notes and all the rest of it, and voted and all those kind of things. And it just got people involved. And since then, those same women that were on that course, most of them have stayed in touch and most of them have become members on Emmeline Odyssey's platform.
For people listening to this, Miro is a bit like a whiteboard, but virtually, you know, you can move stuff around.
Yeah.
But what was the session on?
It was just the basics. It was an introduction to AI for non-techie people, women, actually, quite specifically. I don't think we actually gave it a very exciting name. Because it was within the club, we decided everybody was sort of just chatting about it. And I was able to say, look, what are your fears? What are your pain points? What would you like me to deal with? So it was very organic and it worked really well. And we'd answered a lot of questions for them. And for me, I learned a lot because I learned a lot about my customers.
Fabulous. So, Carolyn, I think it's amazing what you're doing. And from a practical sense, the AI policy will help organizations keep things safe and will organize instruction and things like that. And then Emmeline.ai with the AI Explorer and the community and the courses and the learning opportunities, I think that's going to help people in their roles, but also help women in society and in the workforce generally, and help perhaps push companies' products to be more inclusive and to be, you know, more proactive about the way they develop their own products and services, that they are taking everyone's needs and requirements into account. So what should people do next if they want to learn more about Emmeline.ai?
Well, if they could go to www.emmeline.ai, on there they'll find a link to Emmeline Odysseys, which they can join for free, become a member for free at the moment. I'm just sort of building up. So my first 100 members will be free. And they can also find my book under products. They can find the policies and procedures there as well under products, and the services that you talked about earlier, which is telephone conversation. If you want a telephone conversation with me, I'm not charging lots of money for these sort of things. I just want to get the boat, you know, get it moving. That's the idea. Let's get moving. Let's get some traction. And then we can see where we go from there.
Excellent. I love it. Well, thank you very much for sharing everything that you're doing. And yeah, thanks for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ben. I've really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today on A Better HR Business, the podcast that explores the world of HR consulting and HR tech businesses. For show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Remember to subscribe and share the show with any friends who are busy growing a HR business. Thanks, and see you next time.